In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever, from the rising of the sun to the setting. May the name of the Lord be praised and glorified and honored as we come before the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, Jesus, for you have anointed us, that you have healed us, that you have blessed us. We come to you, Jesus, because you are the Lord, and you have so much for us if we would only believe, if we would only believe. We remember that the man at the beautiful gate, the crippled, was healed. And I'm looking at chapter 4. As they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees do. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Well, I'm telling you, the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection, but here we have the man that was completely healed through the power of the resurrection, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he does something for this man through Peter and John. And the Sadducees laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now inevitable, though many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them were about 5,000. I tell you, preach Christ, and you will increase in your parish. Preach the church, and you are not going to increase. The church is called to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas the high priest and John and Alexander, as many as were gathered, kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that's Peter and John, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" What is this? The man that was crippled was completely healed. Hallelujah. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are being examined for a good deed done to an impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Oh, yes. They are saying this is done not in our name, but in the name of Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead. Now, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, but here we have the sacrament of the resurrection, the man born crippled. Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, risen Savior, healed this man through the prayers of Peter and John. "Silver and gold I have not, but what I give you, get up in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." This is the very stone that was set that was rejected by the builders. It has become the cornerstone. And there is their salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only through the name of Jesus can we be saved. Only through the person of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, can we be saved. We cannot be saved in the name of Father Tom. No. We cannot be saved in the name of a bishop. No. We are saved in the name of Jesus. Now, this is what the church should be preaching, because it's Eastertide, and that there's no other name under which heaven to be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. The church needs to preach Jesus Christ. And if it does, hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful that it does? Paul the VI wrote a decree on evangelization. And he said in his decree that evangelization, when people come to know Jesus and Jesus comes to know people, must begin with the church of God and then go out. People need to be evangelized. But most people have no idea what it means to be evangelized. They think coming to church is being evangelized. No. Giving your life to Jesus and knowing Jesus is evangelization. This is what evangelization is. It's the coming of the Spirit of God that helps us to believe. That helps us to believe that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, ignorant men, they marveled. Oh, yes, they were uneducated and ignorant, but they had someone burning in their hearts. They had the Holy Spirit burning in their hearts, but they're looking at the education. They don't have a doctorate. They don't have a master's degree. They only have Jesus. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. My Lord, I wonder how many people know that we have been with Jesus. I wonder how many people know that we have been with Jesus. I tell you, on Sunday, during our praise and worship service, I had about five people come to me and ask for prayer. They know that I've been with Jesus, you know, not very well, but I've been with Jesus. I have to admit that. I have been with Jesus. I was with Jesus today, and I'm going to be with Jesus again because I have nothing else but Jesus. And holding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. No, what can they say? The man has been completely healed. What can you say? It's a miracle. It's a miracle done in the name of Jesus Christ, who has been risen from the dead, who has been raised from the dead. They couldn't speak against it because there is the man. But when they had commanded them to go outside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, and is manifest to everyone that dwell in Jerusalem." Remember, he was at the beautiful gate. That's the place where he used to beg. Jesus himself went by the beautiful gate, never healed the man, but he waited for John and Peter in the name of Jesus to heal the man after Pentecost. We cannot deny it. How can they deny that this man has been healed? People have seen him. People know him. People have given him money. And now he's jumping around. He's praising God. He's jumping and dancing. He's all excited. I wonder how excited we are about Jesus. I wonder how excited we are about Jesus. I need that excitement about Jesus, my Lord. I need a new outpouring of the river. Wherever the river flows, there is life. I need a new outpouring of the love of Jesus, that love that's within me that can conquer anything by the power of grace. Oh, yes, I know that no one could deny that this man was healed because they had all put money in his little cup, but that it spread no further among the people. They don't want it to spread any further. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. In other words, no more. You can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. We're commanding you. You can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you," that means not to preach in the name of Jesus, "more than unto God, judge you, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." We have to preach. I'm going to tell you, a preacher is a preacher, and he's a preacher when he gets out of bed, he's a preacher when he goes to bed, he's a preacher wherever he has the microphone, he'll tell people about Jesus. A preacher is a preacher. Every minister is not a preacher. Every priest is not a preacher. Every lay person is not a preacher. But there are lay people who are preachers. There are priests who are preachers. There are bishops who are preachers. There are lay people that are preachers. I tell you that this is a gift from God. And what do we preach? We preach Christ, and we preach Him raised from the dead, and we preach Christ, and we preach His blood, and we preach His death, and we preach His resurrection, and we pray in the name of Jesus. We cannot help but speak in the name of Jesus. You can't make us shut up. We're going to continue to speak in the name of Jesus. We don't care what you people say. Sarah, Sadducees, you're sad, you see, because you don't believe in the resurrection. But here is the man who has been healed through the power of the risen Lord. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. What could you punish them for? For healing a man that was crippled? You should give them a gold star because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Hallelujah. They glorified God for that which was done. What was done? That this man became healed by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And so they were let go, and they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So the chief priests and elders said, you are not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. You're not to preach the resurrection in the person of Jesus. And so they go home and tell their brothers and sisters. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord, you are God, and you made heaven, and you made earth, and you made the sea, and all that is in it. You did speak to your servant David. Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For in a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Yes, Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles were gathered against Jesus. For to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determine before to be done. In other words, Jesus Christ knew that he would go to the cross. The cross is from the beginning of all time, beginning before time, and for to do whatever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. That's the cross. And now, Lord, behold their threats, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, with signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. Hallelujah. They did not start crying, oh, we've been persecuted. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. It's so miserable because we were persecuted by the Sadducees and by the Pharisees. No, they didn't do that. They started to pray. And now, Lord, behold their threats, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, with signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child, your holy son, Jesus Christ. And when they had prayed like this, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word of God in boldness. I tell you, I like that word boldness, to speak the word of God with boldness. Not like, oh, I want to apologize to you because I'm going to speak about Jesus today. Oh, no, that's not Peter and John. That's not the early disciples. They preached Jesus in boldness. They were bold to speak the word of God. How many people are bold to speak the word of God? Why do we have to be bold? Let me tell you, because people are going to hell every day. People are going to hell every day. And there's no other name under heaven by which we are going to be saved but the name of Jesus. Why should we be bold? Because our message is the message of truth. And only in the name of Jesus do we have healing, deliverance, salvation. Oh, yes. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. The place shook. The place shook. It wasn't an earthquake. It was the power of God. I thought the Holy Ghost came on Pentecost. Well, he comes again in Acts 4. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit comes again to fill them with boldness. I love that word, boldness. It doesn't mean that we be hateful. It means that we do not compromise in the name of Jesus. We do not compromise in the name of Jesus. And when they had prayed, what was their prayer? Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, with signs, wonders, be done in the name of your holy Son, Jesus. And when they had prayed like this, the place was shaken, where they all assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that anything of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and with great grace was upon them all. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power when we preach Jesus. There's power. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? Do you know him today? It doesn't begin with you. You have not first loved him. He has first loved you. It always begins with Jesus. Do you know him today? Do you love him today? Do you have that boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit? That doesn't mean we become hateful. That means, you know, that we preach in the name of Jesus and that we do things in the name of Jesus. We see people healed all the time. I told you about Honey, and she had a detached retina. And she went to the doctors after we prayed with her, and the retina was not detached. It was attached again. And she went back a year later, which was last week, and it's still attached. And she said, you know who did it, Father Tom? I said, I do know. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, because we pray, oh God, behold the threats that people make against us, and grant unto your servants that we speak the word of God with all boldness, that you stretch forth your hand and heal, that there be signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I'm telling you, grace comes when you preach Jesus. Grace comes when you stretch out your hand in the name of Jesus. Grace comes. It just doesn't come automatically. You've got to be in the river. You've got to be in the place where the Holy Spirit is. Neither was there anyone among them that lacked anything. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to his need. And Joes, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is interpreted a son of consolation, a Levite and a country of Syria, Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, do they have to do this? No. You do it free will. They did it free will. No, you didn't have to do it. You didn't, because we're going to find out in the next chapter, Ananias and Sapphira. Oh, boy. Listen to this now. Chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, we'll call her Sapphire, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife, also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. They didn't have to lay anything at the apostles' feet, but they're telling the apostles, we're laying all our stuff at your feet. But they kept some of it themselves. They could have kept all of it themselves, but you don't lie. You don't lie to the Holy Spirit. But Peter said, Ananias, why has the devil filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained was it not your own land? And after it was sold, was it not your own land under your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God. You see, they didn't have to put it at the apostles' feet, but they said, we're giving you all that we sold, and it's at your feet. No, they lied. They never had to do it. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And Ananias, as hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. That means he died. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after that, his wife, Sapphira, not knowing that this was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Oh, mama. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. They did not need to do it, but they lied to the Holy Spirit. That was the sin. The sin was lying to the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what they did. Let me tell you this, my friends. What the church needs now, and what I need now, because I'm part of the church, what the Roman Catholic Church needs now is a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. We do not need more buildings. We've sold so many of them. We need a move of God in our midst. That's what we need. That's what I need, too. I need a move of God in my parish, in my life, on the radio. I need that the Holy Spirit would come and do great things and would convict people of sin and would bring people to Jesus. I need so much of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Dear Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Dear Jesus, flood us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wherever the river flows, there is life. Holy Spirit, come upon your church, the church that Christ founded, and pour out your blessings, pour out your presence. Let there be a move of God in the midst of God's people. Let there be a move of God. Do it any way you want. Do it any way you want. I give you permission. I need a move of God in my life. Please, come, Holy Spirit. Look at the threats that the devil has waged against us. Come, Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And what does the Bible say? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord, I need the Spirit of God. I know I have Him, but I need more of the Spirit. I need more of the Spirit. The apostles had the Spirit in the second chapter of Acts, but they got more in the fourth chapter of Acts. Oh, and they proclaimed to the world that it wasn't silver or gold that healed the man, but it was done in the name of Jesus, in the powerful name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come upon this ministry. Come upon all the people who are listening to me today. Let your presence be experienced now. Amen. Yesterday I had the children before the Blessed Sacrament, and they were finishing a CCD, so I prayed over all of them. I never said a word. I just laid my hands upon them one at a time, and then I asked them, what did you experience? And one child said, I felt so safe. Another one said, I felt so happy. the Spirit of God made that happen. Well, I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. We need to pay April's bills. We can't do it without you. So please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you can leave a gift on PayPal. www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net. I'm going to say them again. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And PayPal, www.inseason.net. You can leave a gift on PayPal. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, she conceived by the Holy Spirit, behold the handmaid of the Lord. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.